from the Spiral Gospel Hymns hymn book, number 32. In Christ, we are free. Let's all stand together. Number 32. All children of wrath in bondage and sin, we helplessly lay condemned and unclean. God's law in its infinite justice and wrath demanded we suffer an eternal death. But long before time had ever begun, one stood in our place, God's glorious Son. He offered himself to go live among men and give his own life to atone for our sin. The great substitute, behold, he has come. The price has been paid, the work is all done. Christ took on himself the great load of our sin. He poured out his blood and he put away sin. God's justice and law are now satisfied, and all who believe have been justified. Through faith in the blood of the Lamb, we are free from sin's condemnation, eternally free. Please be seated.
If the Spirit shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. That's a blessing. I love that hymn. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Our hope tonight is that God will send his Spirit and give us liberty. Liberty to speak, liberty to hear, liberty to worship, liberty to love. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 40, please. Psalm 40. Prepared a message from Psalm 69. I've titled it, A Desperate Cry for Help. And much of Psalm 70, I'm sorry, did I say 49? Psalm 70 is also quoted in Psalm 40. So let's read Psalm 40 together. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out also of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, and I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Oh, that we can see Christ in this psalm. In the volume of the book is written of me. He's the one who bore our sins and took them as his own. Be blessed, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence, thankful that we have thy dear Son, our Savior, as our advocate, our righteousness, our sin bearer, and all thy satisfaction. Lord, how we pray that you would be pleased now in this hour to send your Spirit. For Lord, we know lest you build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Lord, all that we do here would be worse than vanity if you don't meet with us, bless us, speak to our hearts. We know, Lord, that our situation is much more desperate than we know. But Lord, you know our needs, and you know that we are poor and needy people. And we ask now for your mercy, and for thy salvation to be declared and loved, and for the Lord to be magnified. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen.
Number 158 from the big hymnal, number 158. And let's all stand together.
Come, Holy Spirit. This poor dying rate, Our love so faint, so cold to thee, and thine to us so great. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, come shed abroad the Savior's love, and that shall kindle ours.
Please be seated.
I can so identify with that hymn. And I was just thinking as we were singing it how different that hymn is from the popular music of modern day religion that exalts man and his praise and worship of God. Here we are groveling. And how appropriate that hymn is for this Psalm 70. Will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 70? This psalm is for the poor and the needy. And I was thinking as I was preparing, particularly the first part of this message, that I'm going to be preaching to the choir tonight. And then I thought, you know what? I'm always preaching to the choir. The choir is the only one that ever hears the preaching of the gospel. If those that needed to hear it heard, they'd join the choir. That's true. That's true. It is a rare thing for a man to have a concern for his soul. But it is a miracle of grace for one that has a concern for his soul to be given a remedy for that concern. Most folks only see their temporal circumstances as the trouble that they're in. And I pray the Lord will give us a concern for eternal matters, and that we'll be able to pray this prayer with an eye towards Christ, who is the remedy for our trouble, and a burden for our sin, which is the real trouble that we have. So many folks, I saw me preaching the choir, you all the ones that are here all the time, because you're poor and you're needy. And it's a grievous thing to see folks that only come when they're in trouble with temporal problems, or they come once or twice a month and tip their hat to God. And I wish they would be able to hear this message, but it's for us, it's for me, and it's for you. Somebody was telling me recently about preaching, and I said, well, I preach first to myself. Everything I say to you, I've said to myself, and I'm saying to myself right now. And the Lord ends this psalm in the same way he ended Psalm 40. Look at verse 5. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. It is a testimony to our own sin that we see so oftentimes our temporal troubles as more desperate than our spiritual ones. But that's who we are, and maybe that's one of our biggest problems, is that we're not as keenly aware and concerned about our spiritual needs as we ought to be. And we so oftentimes find ourselves crying desperately to the Lord because we're in trouble. We're in trouble in this world. We've got financial troubles. We've got health issues, sometimes very serious, life-threatening health issues. We have family troubles, and we find ourselves calling out to God in those time of trouble. I don't want to be insensitive to those kind of troubles. I have those troubles. You have those troubles. They're real. They're painful. And we ought to pour out our hearts to God in time of need and be comforted with His grace. But there is a more desperate need that we have. These physical needs will soon be no more. Sooner than we think. Young people, God said it. God said it, and it's true. This life is a vapor. It's a vapor. And there are some spiritual needs that we have that go far beyond the temporal needs of this world. We have a need to be saved. Saved from the wrath that is to come. Saved from eternal judgment. That's our greatest need. We have a need for God to put away our sin, lest they stand in judgment of us. We have a need for God to satisfy the demands of His holy law, lest it stands in condemnation of us. These are the real needs we have, aren't they? The thing about it is, if the Lord is pleased to give us an eye towards the eternal and give us a concern for our soul and show us the remedy of those needs, then where the greater is met, the lesser will be taken care of. We have a need for God to give us peace. Peace. Lest we lean on our own understanding. We have a need for the Lord to enable us to flee the temptations of the devil, lest we be taken captive by him. We have a need for him to work in us and cause us to will and to do of his good pleasure, lest we find ourselves doing our own pleasure, doing what's right in our own eyes, and living a life of disobedience. Lord, if you don't fetch me, I will remain in Lodabar. Like Mephibosheth, I'll be crippled with no bread and no life and no help if you don't send your prophet to draw me to yourself. Lord, if you don't bid me to come unto thee, if you don't call me by my name, single me out, call me into your presence. I was writing an article on the computer today, and in the article was the phrase Christ particular redemption. And Trisha's got set up on our computer a grammar check. So the grammar check alerts me on this phrase, Christ particular redemption, and suggests that I take out the word particular in order to make the sentence more precise. That's what it said. The computer's telling me to take out the word particular so that the sentence will be more precise. And my first thought was, wow, my computer even hates the gospel. If I take out the word particular, it's going to make it less precise. It's going to make it ambiguous. It's going to make it so that anybody can interpret it. Oh, I need particular redemption. I need the Lord to single me out. I need eyes to see. Lord, if you don't give me eyes to see spiritual truth, all I'll see is the things of this world that these physical eyes are able to see. And that will do nothing for my soul. Lord, if you don't give me ears to hear. These are my desperate needs. Lord, hear my prayer speedily. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Go back to our psalm. Make haste. Look at verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backwards and be put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Well, who's your enemy? Sitting in the same seat you're in, isn't he? It's that old man. It's that fleshly man that we just sang about. We have a war going on within us. It's sin. It's this world that draws us. And the Lord said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. And yet we find ourselves so oftentimes being pressed in to the mold of this world. That's our enemy. Lord, turn them back on themselves. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation continually say, the Lord be magnified. Oh, Lord, I'm poor and needy. Make haste. Oh, God, thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying. Lord, this is a desperate cry of a sinner who sees something of his sin problem. Lord, if you don't give me a heart to believe the gospel, I'll not believe you. I will live and die and be separated from you for all eternity as an unbeliever. That's my desperate need. And the easily besetting sin that causes all the other problems in my life is the sin of unbelief. It's the fountainhead of all my problems. And Lord, if you don't give me faith to believe, I won't believe you. This is my desperation. Yes, temporal problems are real, and yes, they're painful. And yes, we have to call out to God in time of need, whatever it is. But this is the desperation. Those temporal issues are going to come to an end soon. This is a problem that we've got to have God to fix for us if we're going to have any hope of life eternal. Lord, if you don't shed the love of Christ abroad in my heart, I will be cold and indifferent toward you, toward your word, toward my sin, toward others. You've got to put the love of Christ in my heart. This is my desperate need. These are things I cannot do for myself. Truth is, in all the temporal issues that we have a need for, we have some responsibility to provide for that need, don't we? If our need is financial, we've got the responsibility to work. If our need is relationship, we have the responsibility to make things right best we can with folks. If we have a physical problem, we're not going to sit home and not go to the doctor and pursue some medical attention. So in all the temporal needs that we do call on God to help us with, that's all. It's what he's doing. But these spiritual needs, he's got to do it all. He's got to do it all. That's why I'm so desperate. Lord, I'm not so desperate if there's something I can do. But if there's nothing I can do, I'm desperate. Lord, if you don't feed me with the bread of heaven, I'll go back to Egypt and I'll feast on leeks and garlics and onions and all those things that come out of the ground. You've got to rain manna from heaven. You've got to feed me with daily bread. You've got to reveal to me the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my desperate need. Lord, hear me speedily. Come unto me. Answer my desperate cry. If you don't cause the rivers of living water to flow in my heart, as you promised that woman at the well, I'll drink from the broken cisterns and polluted waters of this world until I'm so sick, I'll have no hope. was Bartimaeus's more desperate need? What was his more desperate need? To have physical sight or to have spiritual sight? Truth is, the Lord gave him spiritual sight before he healed him physically. Son of David, have mercy upon me. Shut up, Bartimaeus. No, son of David, have mercy upon me. How did he know he was the son of David? He had heard about him and he believed what he heard. And God gave him spiritual sight before he gave him physical sight. But his greater need was for that spiritual sight. What was Jacob's greater need? When he was there at the river Jabbok, remember he divided his family up and he heard that Esau was coming? What was his greater need? Was his greater need to be delivered from the wrath of his brother? Or was his greater need to wrestle with God all night long and have his name changed from Jacob to Israel and be delivered from the wrath that is to come? You see, he was desperate. He was desperate because he thought, you know, we're fixing to lose everything. Esau's coming, he's going to kill us all. But he had a need that was greater than that. The Lord had to reveal that need to him, didn't he? What about that woman with the issue of blood that had spent everything that she had on physicians? And she was no better off now. She was worse off. Worse off. What a picture of 12 years she had dealt with this issue of blood. And she had gone from religion to religion to religion trying to find a doctor that would help her. That's the picture, isn't it? And she said, oh, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole. And she crawled through the crowd. She touched the hem of his virtue went out from him. She felt it in her body. She knew immediately she'd been healed. She had a greater need than that, didn't she? She had a need for the Lord Jesus Christ to single her out. To say, who touched me? And she told him all the truth. And what was her greater need? For him to say to her, your sins are forgiven thee. That was her greater need. She felt her physical need, but her real need was spiritual. Same for us. What about the disciples on the Sea of Galilee? They just thought they were going to drown. They thought they were going to die. Did they need to be saved from the peril of the storm? Or did they need to be saved from the power of their sin and see the one who had power over the storm? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the rain and the waves obey his voice? That's our need. This is our prayer. Brethren, I just want to encourage you tonight. When you pray, yes, ask God to meet those physical needs. But oh Lord, I get more desperate over my temporal problems than I do over my spiritual ones. Lord, give me a heart to be concerned for the things that are really important. That crippled that was at the gate called Beautiful. What a picture. What a picture of me and you sitting at the gate, the beautiful gate into heaven. And this man was not able to worship God because he was crippled. He was not able to go into the temple. He thought that his need was for the passerbys to give him alms to meet his financial needs. He couldn't work. And he thought that was his biggest need. And he was desperate. And he was shameless in asking men for donations. Help me, help me. What'd Peter say? Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I say unto thee, stand and walk. And he leaped upon his feet. His biggest need wasn't physical healing. His biggest need was to be able to walk so he could enter into that temple and worship God. That was his need. Mary and Martha were grieving over the loss of their brother Lazarus. Oh, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have died. And they were weeping over his death. And they thought their greatest need was to be reunited with him. And when the Lord told them to take away the stone, was their greatest need to see their brother Lazarus? Or was their greatest need to have the Lord Jesus Christ say to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die." What is your greater need? What is the most desperate need that you have? You know what it is, don't you? Mine too. Those 10 lepers that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they thought their desperate need was to be cleansed of their leprosy. And for 9 of them, that's all that happened to them. But one saw that he had a need that went beyond his leprosy. He had a need to worship God. He had a need to come back and to bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to offer him worship and praise for his soul. What about Jairus? "Oh, Lord, come to my house. My daughter, she's 12 years old. She's dying. She's dying." And on the way, one of the servants came and said, "Bother the master no more. Your daughter's dead. She's gone. It's too late." What was Jairus' better need, biggest, most desperate need? Was it the healing of his daughter? Or was it to have the Lord Jesus Christ come into his home and bless him with his presence? "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. I'm poor and needy." Most of these psalms were written by David in response to his desperate attempt to flee the wrath of Saul. Most of these psalms that we've been studying. David is being persecuted by Saul. And he's being pursued by Saul. And he's asking God to help him and save him from the wrath of Saul. But let me ask you a question. Which psalm of David do we remember the most clearly? Which psalm of David speaks to our hearts most powerfully? Psalm 51, isn't it? That was great. That was David's greater need. Not to be delivered from the wrath of Saul, but to be delivered from the wrath of God. To have his sin taken away. "Wash me thoroughly. For my sin is ever before me." That's my problem. That Syrophoenician woman who had the daughter that was possessed with the devil and asked the Lord she cried to him, "Lord, help us. Help us. It's not meet that I should give the children's bread to dogs." What was her need? "Truth, Lord," and she worshiped him. What was her greater need? Was it for the deliverance of her daughter from that demon? Or was it for that dog, that Gentile dog, to be brought into Israel? "Your sins are forgiven thee." That was her need. Her need was to be made an Israelite. And that's exactly what happened. Jonah, I can't imagine, 3 days in the belly of a whale. He's got seaweed wrapped around him. He's crying out to God. I mean, he's desperate. That'd be a desperate situation to be in. And God left him in that desperate situation for 3 days. Until finally, his final prayer, "Salvation is of the Lord." And Jonah was vomited out on dry land. What was Jonah's greatest need? It was to come to that conclusion that salvation was of the Lord. What about Job? Job was in, lost all of his children, lost his cattle. His wife turned against him. His friends turned against him. He was desperate. And most of the book of Job, he's crying out in desperation for the Lord to help him and explain to him what's happening. What was his greatest need? His greatest need was to justify God rather than himself. His greatest need was to hear the gospel from Elihu and come to the conclusion that though I had heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, now mine eyes have seen thee and I repent in dust and ashes. That's our desperate need, isn't it, brethren? We have real needs in this world. And your Heavenly Father knows what they are. He knows what they are. Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as the lilies of the field. The birds of the air, they don't. How much more precious are you? The Gentiles seek after those things. The Gentiles are the ones who make their temporal needs the pursuit of their life. We live in this world. We must pursue those temporal things and take responsibility for them and ask God to help us with them. And sometimes they can be very painful. But that, what the Lord say? But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. That's our real need, isn't it? May God give us the grace to cry desperately. Look what he says. Let all those that seek thee rejoice. The Lord said, if you seek me, you're going to find me. If you knock, the door will be opened unto you. If you ask, it will be given unto you. And when we ask for those things that are really our desperate need, well, the Lord said, when you pray, James said, when you pray amiss that you might consume them upon your own lust. That's us, isn't it? We pray for those. We put on a higher plane, a higher priority, our physical needs than our spiritual needs. And the Lord said, you're just asking for that so you can have your physical comforts. Swept that around. Well, I'll take care of those things, but seek ye first. Seek the Lord. You know what? When we seek him and he's pleased to make himself known to us, there's some rejoicing that takes place in the heart even before the temporal needs are met. Rejoicing. All is well. Lord, I can rest. I can rest in knowing that you've got this. You've got me. You've put away my sins. I've sought you, and you've spoken truth to my heart, and you've revealed to me that I have a righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ that exceeds all the things that this world. I've got a hope, a hope in Christ. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes it's hard to be glad in the midst of our circumstances, but the Lord doesn't tell us to be glad for those difficult times. Rejoice in the Lord in those difficult times. Be thankful for them. Be thankful for them. I'm so encouraged to have believers tell me, I'm thankful for this trouble. I'm thankful for this cancer. I'm thankful because this is a means the Lord has used to cause me to look beyond my temporal needs and realize that I've got a more desperate need. And in seeking him for that need, he's met my needs. He's met my needs. Let such as love thy salvation. Do you love God's salvation? Do you love not having anything to do with your salvation? Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. In election, I didn't have anything to do with it. It was all according to his will and purpose. He sovereignly chose who he would have mercy on. He gets magnified and glorified. Had he not chosen me? You know, I was thinking, what is the draw to all the secret societies that have been in the world since the beginning of mankind? I'll tell you what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Knowledge puffeth up. If I think that I've come to understand something that no one else knows, it gives me an advantage over other people. Whether it be the flat earth or whether it be Calvinism, whatever it is, I've got some secret knowledge that nobody else knows and it puffs me up. And those that we tell about our gospel, when we tell folks that our God sovereignly elected us before the foundation of the world, that the Lord Jesus Christ particularly redeemed us through the sacrifice of himself on Calvary's cross, and that the Holy Spirit irresistibly calls us into his marvelous light out of darkness, they're prone to accuse us of that pride, aren't they? Oh, you just puffed up because you think you've got knowledge of something that no one else has. And nothing could be farther from the truth. For verse 2 says, let him who thinks he knows that he knows nothing as he ought to know it. And we don't know anything like we ought to know it, do we? And then the Lord goes on in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians to say, oh no, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world, the things that are base, the things that are not, in order to make to naught those things which are mighty, proud. There's nothing that feeds the pride of man in the gospel. We know who it is that maketh us to differ. And we know that we didn't have anything to do with it. And that's why we say, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. The Lord be glorified. He did it all. He elected us. He redeemed us. He regenerated us. He sanctified us. He keeps us. We didn't have anything to do with it. And rather than being proud, we're wondering. I had a brother tell me recently, he said, I understand how God could save anybody else, but I don't understand how he saved me. And I said, well, that's the way we all feel. That's the way we all feel. I understand how God could have mercy on anybody else, but why would he have mercy on me, of all people? Let the Lord be magnified. The message of the gospel of God's free grace in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only message of salvation that doesn't feed the pride of man. It puts sinners where they belong, poor and needy, crying out desperately for help. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we ask that you would forgive us for being so earthly minded. Lord, forgive us that we have set our affections on the things of this earth rather than on the things of heaven. Give us grace in this hour to look to Christ, to rest our hope in him, and to know, Lord, that He is our greatest, most desperate need. We ask it in His name. Amen. 318? Number 318. Let's stand together.
Son, I need.